right, guys. Make sure you have a student guide and a Bible. Ooh, this is cool. With the light, like my highlights in my Bible. I wish you guys could see it. They're like super bright and really lit. Yes. Leaders in training. Lit. Okay, so if you have a Bible, you can open it to 1 Corinthians 13. If you do not have a Bible, you need to get a Bible and then open it to 1 Corinthians 13. All right, anybody know what this chapter of the Bible is called? What? Never mind. It's not called the Never Mind. Final warnings? I don't think so. 1 Corinthians, which is in the New or Old Testament. What did we learn last week? 1 Corinthians is New Testament, chapter 13. 13, okay? All right, so 1 Corinthians 13, this is often referred to as the love chapter. Yeah. All right. So tonight we're going to talk about that. All right. Now, last week, if you weren't here, we've been going through this Baywatch series talking about love and dating. Okay. The first week we talked about how we need to prepare ourselves first, okay, and make sure that we are growing in Christ. And then last week we talked about what kind of a person we need to be looking for when we are dating, okay? So this week we're going to move on. We're going to be talking about yellow flags, okay? Everybody here has been to the beach, right? I hope so, okay? You guys, it is a privilege to live like an hour and a half from the beach. I lived in Illinois, and it was like 15 hours at least to any kind of a beach, all right, which is sad. So it is really nice to be just a little over an hour to get to Myrtle or something like that, which is neat. If you ever go to the beach, you can know what kind of water and what to be expecting when you get there because they have different kinds of signals that they use to help you determine how safe it is, right? So they have these different flags, and different flags mean different what, like things, right? So anybody know what different flags, like, there are? Okay, so there's like a red one. There's a purple one. What is the purple one? It's marine life, right? So like jellyfish, stingrays, sharks, all of those kinds of things, marine life. The what? What is the blue one? Oh, it can be blue. Okay, the marine life can be blue also. The diving flag. Is that like the red one with the black dot or something? Okay. So it's a diving flag. It means that there's like a boat with someone doing scuba diving or something like that, right? All right. What else? A green flag. What is a green flag? Good. Good. Okay, right? Kind of like once you learn how to drive, and you probably know already from like school and stuff. But green light means go, right? Yellow light means it means proceed with caution and exit the interchange. And then red light means you should not be inside of the interchange at this time, okay? So it does not mean go faster. It does not mean really hurry up, any of those things. Red means stop, okay? It means you are not supposed to be in there. What's up?
Oh, yeah. So I saw the red flag, and it was over. Yeah, I didn't hear it. So I went swimming out further in the ocean.
Awesome. Great story. That's scary, okay? So here's the thing. There are hazards when you go to the beach, and those hazards don't typically just keep you from going to the beach unless you have some kind of fear or something like that. But, you know, it's something that you need to be mindful of, and it's something that you need to know, okay? And those flags that they put out help you to know how you need to proceed. So green means, you know, it is a great day to be out there in the water. It's pretty safe. You should be okay. A yellow flag is a step up from that. A yellow flag means that you can go in the water, but there are some hazards that you need to be careful of. Like it could be a rip current or something, which is where there's water that's going to try to pull way out into the ocean, and that can be very dangerous, right? It can take you way out into the water, and you can try to swim back in a rip current, but it won't let you, okay? So you've got to know what these hazards are before you're able to navigate how to deal with them, right? So in a similar way that there are hazards at a beach, there's also hazards when it comes to dating, all right? And we're going to talk about that this week and next week about some of the hazards. But here's the main thing I want you to get. Okay, wisdom in dating will reduce risks that threaten your spiritual health. Okay, if you will take wisdom, which is what Pastor Bill's been talking about with the whole series in Proverbs recently, about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if we will place God in a place of reverence where we worship him, where we obey him, if we're doing that and we're applying that to what he lives, that is called wisdom. We are going to take what God desires and what he commands us, and we're applying that to our life. When we do that, it's going to reduce the risks that are involved in dating, okay? Because just like going to the beach, there's a danger that you could see a shark and it could attack you. You could not see a shark and it could still attack you. Or you could be caught in a rip current or something like that. Those things don't necessarily keep you from going to the beach, but you need to be mindful of them and you need to be careful when you go to the beach because of those hazards. So similarly, when we know what those hazards are at the beach, we can look out for them. When we know what the hazards are that are involved with dating, we can often avoid those things and be able to take care of ourselves spiritually, okay? So tonight, let's start out with prayer and ask God to teach us through this passage and through this message tonight. God, we ask that as we learn this evening that you would work in our hearts, that the Holy Spirit would show us new things of how when we're in a dating relationship that we need to apply your wisdom and make sure that we are obeying you in how we do things and why we're doing things. And what we're doing, God, so that we can continue to grow spiritually in line with what you desire for us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have a couple of questions we've been doing each week. We've had some kind of different question that we need to be asking as we get to a different point in looking at dating, looking at love, what all of that means, okay? So one of the first things that you need to ask once you are at the point of dating is, why do I want to date, right? Like, that's important to know. What are some reasons that either you or other people, okay, don't throw somebody under the bus or something and be like, so-and-so thinks this, but what are some reasons that people give for wanting to date? Right. So we talked about that on the first week about not trying to have someone else complete you, but finding our identity in Christ and having him as the one who completes us. Yes. Somebody else said loneliness, right? Okay. Excellent. Was that yours also? Nice. That was a good one. Okay. I actually had that written down. Loneliness. That's a really good one. What else? There are other reasons, right? There are what? Okay, so you would be cute with them? All right. Yes? Do what? Oh, okay. That seems like a good reason, right? Like you actually like the person, okay? Right, so So they want to date somebody because they need attention from someone, and so they are looking for that other person to do this, okay? We'll take maybe one or two others, yeah?
Oh, Your friends forced them to.
Your friends forced them to? Arranged dating, right? Scary. Okay, last one, Lane. I don't know why I said that. Faith. They're bored, and so they want a relationship in order to give them something to do, to give them someone to Snapchat and to send all these messengers to, and so they don't have to go to skating or bowling with their teddy bear or something, okay? I don't know if anybody does that, but that would be kind of strange. If you do, we can talk later, okay? So here's the thing, okay? I want to address some of those things. Maybe if it's a loneliness thing, this is something that you don't necessarily need to look for a dating relationship to help you with, okay? Friendship, having friends that you cannot be lonely because you've got friends and these are people who care about you. That is a great way to deal with loneliness, being a friend, having friends. Next, social status, okay? Whether it's somebody says you should be together, or they're trying to arrange your dating. What is that? I don't even know. Okay, yet again, social status, that's not what dating is for. It's not to get you to some different tier of once I date this person, I'll be a popular person or something like that. Let me help you guys out also, because I know that right now you can see what's kind of in front of you. You've got middle school, and then like, in the maybe distant or not so distant future, high school. Once you graduate out from that, a lot of this like, you know, tiered status of this person is like better than these other people or stuff, I kind of like disappears. I don't know if everybody else had that experience, adults, but I definitely had that experience of like, once you went to college, everybody was like flatline all over again, smoothed over. There were no, this is a really popular person. Like, there just wasn't that. Did you guys have similar experience or not?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was talking with the adults for a second. It's not all about you, Isaac. All right. It's okay. Chill. All right. No, I'm just messing. All right. So social status, okay? It's not a reason to date. Another thing, to feel valuable, right? That they feel like if I have this person that I'm dating, that means that I'm worth dating, or that I have value because look at who I can date. That's not what dating is for either, okay? Our value should not be derived from being able to date someone, but rather from the love that God has for us and the fact that he said, hey, you're so valuable that my son, Jesus Christ, will die on a cross to save you and to restore our relationship with each other. So, I mean, that is like ultimate value that God has placed, and that doesn't change. That's not something that now I feel like I'm a valuable person because now I'm dating this person, and then we break up, and now I have no value again. And that's what happens a lot of times. There's a lot of heartbreak that is involved in that because you're just up and down with, now I feel good, now we broke up, and now I don't feel like I have value, okay? We look to God for our value. Here's the thing in dating, though, that is a good reason to be wanting to date, okay? One is you found someone that you're interested in dating and pursuing a long-term relationship with, okay? Possibly ultimately leading to marriage. What? Okay, crazy. Okay, that's what happened to me. Yes, that is true. Okay, that is what happened to me. Look, when you're dating, okay, this is an opportunity where you are saying, I am looking for a treasure. Okay, I am looking for a treasure. Now, treasures come in different kinds, right? Like, there's things that are valuable because of what they are, like, you know, gold or silver, jewels, things like that. There's treasures that are, like, valuable because of sentimental reasons that are like, oh, look at this old photo album I found that has all my friends. Oh, man, I remember this. There's also things like that are valuable because of the information they have, like your cell phone, right? And if you were in a desperate situation, you had to call someone, you might know like two or three cell phone numbers of other people. If you'd know that many, I'm kind of impressed because most people your age do not know anyone else's cell phone number. So if you know it, that's amazing. But your cell phone, if I wanted, you know, me and Mr. Jim, we're cool, high five. But if I wanted to, like, call Mr. Jim and I didn't have my phone or access to, like, our church's database, I would have to ask someone else what his phone number was because I haven't memorized it. And Miss Aileen's and everybody else, because that's a lot of information to remember. They do. They make real books of phones, okay? Phone books. But hey, here. I want to read to you. Shh. Thank you. Okay. I want to read to you out of Proverbs, a great passage. It says in Proverbs 18:22, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." So Solomon says, hey, he who finds a wife obtains favor from the Lord. He finds a good thing. It's good, okay? Marriage is a good thing. It's meant by God to be a good thing, okay? And sadly, some people do not have good marriages, and there's people who give up on marriage, and it's tragedy, okay? But marriage is meant to be a great thing that God has created. So we see here that looking for this is not a bad thing. It's not bad to date when we're looking for, okay, this could be someone, this could be the treasure that, you know, God has created for me to spend the rest of my life with. Now, in 7th grade, 8th grade, probably not the person that you're thinking about dating right now, okay? Let me just be honest. It's probably not, okay? My wife, Megan, I was not interested in her when I was in 7th and 8th grade. We didn't even live in the same state, okay? We wouldn't meet until way later. Like when I was 23, okay? 23, so not a long time ago, okay? You can ask all these questions later, okay? We've been married long enough to be married, okay? So, here's the thing, okay? So, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So it is a good thing, but we must check our motivation for dating and make sure it is in line with our beliefs, okay? If we're looking for something else, if we're looking for someone to complete us, if we're trying to date because somebody says we'd be cute together or because of this or that and it doesn't have God at the center of it, okay, it's probably not a good reason to date. It's probably not why you need to be dating someone at this time, okay? Second thing, what kind of love are you looking for, okay? Anybody see or read that book, The Fault in Our Stars? No. Okay. If you didn't, it was it's like a Nicholas Sparks movie or book or something. I don't know. Well, here's John Green. Thank you very much. Same person, different names. Okay, same thing. It basically is. So here's the thing. There's this quote, okay, if you haven't seen it, basically here's what happens. There's a girl and a boy, and they like each other, and they have life, and it's about it, okay? So there's a boy and a girl. Crazy, exactly. I'm trying not to give everything away, but here's the thing. They're interested in each other, and I believe it's in this book, but there's this line that says something to the effect of, we accept the types of love that we think we are worth. Is that it, right? That's Okay, it's in there. It happens. Here's what it's talking about is we accept the kinds of love that we think we are worth. So if we think that we aren't worth anything, we're not going to hold someone else to a standard of actually loving us. We'll take anything we can get. Okay, if we understand, though, that we have immense value and that God has loved us in incredible ways and that we are sons and daughters of God because of our trust in Jesus Christ, we have high standards, okay? We go back to last week and we say, there are high standards for who it is that I am looking to date. And so when I am looking to date someone, the kind of love that I expect that person to display is going to be rooted back in God's word, in a godly man or a godly woman who is growing in their relationship with God. Now, I want to show you three languages, okay, in the Bible. There's Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, okay? And in general, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, the New Testament was written in Greek, okay? Those were the common languages for the people who were going to be reading that, and there's a little bit of Aramaic here and there, okay? So that helps you out. Now, we're going to look at four different kinds of words. These are going to be fill-in-the-blanks in your student guide, all right? So you're going to want to look at them. Jessica has a question first. What's up? Okay, so the Bible was not originally written in English. Fun fact. So the Bible was written, it ended being written like 1900 years ago or so. That's where like Jesus is like where the BC and the AD change essentially. So I know these things, okay? So he asked, all right? Chill. So it was originally written in other languages and then it was translated. So that's why if you have a Bible and it says ESV on it, that's the English Standard Version, okay? There's NIV, which is New International Version. What happens for this is they go back to the original language and they translate what it means into the language it is being written into. So if you need a Bible in Spanish, they don't go to the English Bible and then change it over to Spanish. They go back to the original language it was written in and then say, this is what it means in the original language, and then they move that meaning into the Spanish or whatever language. So that's how Bible translation works. Now, we're going to look at, there are four different words that were Greek words for love. Okay, you got a question? Okay, I'll explain this real quick. Okay, there was a guy in England named James. He was a king. He was a king. His name was James. He wanted a version of the Bible. So it was translated and distributed in the 17th century. And it's been around for like 400-something years. Okay. All right, let's look at the Greek. All right, here it is. So there's four different kinds. Whoa, everybody jumped straight to that one word, right? All right, so we're going to talk through these. Okay, the first word is phileo. Okay, everybody say phileo. Okay, phileo is where we get the word Philadelphia, like in Pennsylvania. Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love, okay? So you can remember this word that way. Hey, I need you guys to kind of listen up, all right? You're going to have a moment here in just a second, okay? Brotherly love, this is friendship, okay? If you think about guys who are in military units together and the bonds that they have in war or on a sports team where you're like, man, we got really close together. We were good pals together. There's a strong friendship. This is phileo, okay? It's built over time with common interests and things like that. What's up, Ben?
These words are Greek, right?
This is the Greek, yes.
Where's the Greek God
Yes, okay. So we're going to get to that in a second. Okay, second word is pronounced storge. Everybody say storge. Okay, it's not storge, okay? This is part of the difference between Greek and English. There's different rules for how you pronounce things and stuff like that. No, it's not filet mignon, okay? So storge, okay? This is the cute kind of love where you're like, I miss you, and you can't wait to see someone, and you're like excited, and they're constantly on your mind. This is like a lot of times what is involved in dating, right? Is this love where you're like, I can't wait to see so-and-so. I want to hear, you know, when your phone goes off and you're like, oh, it's a text from so-and-so, and you're like excited about it. That is this storge kind of love, okay? It is a emotional love, puppy love kind of thing like that. I told Megan as I was studying this, I said, Megan, you have different kinds of love, and that is great. You have a lot of storge love because she always sends me things like, oh, I love you, I miss you, and then I'll get home and she'll be like, I missed you today, and things like that, all right? And I don't get to say it nearly as much as she does, and then she's like, you never miss me. I'm like, I do miss you. I'm not good at expressing myself, okay? But here's the thing, okay? That is the storge kind of love, all right? Then there is agape. Everybody say agape.
Agape.
Okay. This word is found exclusively in the New Testament of the Bible. You're not going to go and look at writings of Plato or Aristotle or some of those other guys who wrote in Greek. Same language. Okay, yeah, Plato, Aristotle, like Plato's closet, what? Okay, all kinds of stuff. Not the planet, that's Pluto, that's different. Not Play-Do, Play-To. Okay, this kind of love, the agape love, is the greatest, strongest, noblest, and self-sacrificing kind of love. It is the kind of love that throughout God's word is used to describe the kind of love God has for his people. It is unconditional. It cannot change. There's not something that you can do to make God love you more or love you less. He loves you unconditionally. Okay, it is his noble love and is the kind of love that caused him to send Christ to the cross to die for us. It is that self-sacrificing love. It's amazing, okay? That is this agape love. The fourth kind is eros, okay? Everybody say eros.
Eros.
Okay, we're going to talk about this more next week. And so if you're uncomfortable, just get comfortable next week, okay? This is a passionate word. It is a word that is the root word where the word erotic comes from, okay? It is a sexual type of love, okay? Now, the thing with this is that God created this just like he created the other three. Here's the difference. This love is not supposed to come before the others, okay? Now, as I was doing this study, I was working out, you know, doing this one, this one, this one. Well, in alphabetical order, which I have CDO, which is OCD, but alphabetized, okay? Eros goes right after agape, but it also goes before phileo and storge because of A-E-P-S, okay? Like, and then I thought about doing apes because that would be memorable, okay? A-P-E-S for the acronym, okay? This is not an acronym, but it is an explanation because eros needs to come after the others, okay? in God's way of creating families and creating marriages, he has designed eros. It's a great thing, but he has also given restrictions on how it is to work, okay? That is part of why when we talked about it, that love can be like dating, how you have to learn, or like driving, where you have to learn what the rules are and how to drive, because if you don't follow the rules, you can get hurt, and you can hurt other people, okay? God has designed all of these things, and they're all great, but here's the thing. You are supposed to do it God's way, okay? So when we follow his wisdom in these different kinds of love and we use them correctly, we are able to see that God has created these things in a wonderful way that helps to draw together marriages, to draw together families and friendships, okay? So we need to know, though, which kind of love, yeah, thanks. All right, which kind of love we're looking for? Because if we're going into a dating relationship and we're not looking for the right kind of love, we're going to have issues because we're either not going to be able to get past a certain point or we're going to go way past the point that we're trying to get to. And then if we decide, oh man, this person is not the person that I need to be with for the rest of my life, then we gotta go, hold on, I need to back it up. And emotions get involved and people get hurt and things like that. So we have to know what kind of love it is that we're searching for out there. Now, here's where the 1 Corinthians 13 passage comes in, okay? If you've got that opened up, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you 10 minutes.
To what?
There are like 13 verses in chapter 13. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to get with someone of the same sex, so girls with girls, guys with guys. Spread out within the room. Okay, don't go backstage. Listen. Yep, hold on. You're going to get with one other person, girls with girls, guys with guys. I want you to read over this passage, 1 Corinthians 13, together, and I want you to think about what kind of love fits inside each place that this chapter talks about love, okay? Then we're going to come back together, all right? All right, you got 9 minutes and 13 seconds now. Go. Okay, let's work our way through it. All right. On the count of three, I want you to say which of the four words you think it was. One, two, three.
Agape.
Agape. A grape? What? Okay. Agape. Every single time in 1 Corinthians 13, if you look in the Greek, it is always agape, every single one of these, okay? This kind of love is what God desires for us to have as believers in Christ, okay? The way when Jesus goes back and he's asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He's quoting from the Old Testament, but the words are there that Jesus is using is both times agape. It is self-sacrificial. It is thinking of others and putting them above yourself. It is that kind of love that God desires for us to have. It is the highest form of love, okay? See, it wouldn't make sense for us to just have one of these other kinds of love in this sentence because those other kinds of love aren't all of these things. Agape love, the same kind of love that God has, it is self-sacrificial. In John chapter 15, Jesus says, greater love has no man than this, that he is willing to lay down his life for his friends. That is self-sacrificial, and it's that same word, agape, okay? when we are looking at dating, we have to look at it under the concept of we are pursuing being able to display and be restored through agape, okay? Through the same kind of love that is others thinking, that is putting others' interests ahead of our own. That's what Paul wrote in Philippians. He said, do not think only of your own interests, but consider the interests of others greater than yourself. That you care about others and what they need greater than yourself. Now, does this mean that if somebody else tells you, well, I need you to do something that you know is wrong, that you do it? No, okay? Because that's not what God desires. God doesn't desire for you to say, well, I'm thinking of someone else while I do this thing that's wrong. No, okay? Obviously not. That's not how this works. So we saw in 1 Corinthians 13 that is this agape love, okay? If we're looking for the wrong kinds of love in dating, we're putting ourselves at spiritual risk. Okay, if we go out into the ocean and you're looking out at the water and you're like, well, there's crashing waves, crashing waves, crashing waves. There's this little calm-looking spot right here, and then crashing waves, crashing waves, crashing waves. Where should we go to?
Crashing waves.
Crashing waves.
Close spot. Be one with the sharks.
Okay, you want to know what it actually is? It's actually the crashing waves part.
Why?
Because that still part is where a rip current goes. That is water that is being sucked back out into the ocean. Okay? It's dangerous. You have to know what the hazard looks like if you're going to watch out for it. Okay? You have to use wisdom. You have to know, man, there are these other kinds of love that someone else may be looking for that I don't need to be involved in at this point. Okay? If someone else is pursuing only storge and they're not pursuing agape, they're not showing that, then that relationship is only going to go so far. If that person is searching for eros love, obviously that is going to lead you down in a direction that is not meant for anything outside of marriage, okay? And so you have to watch out for these hazards and be looking for the right kind of love. Now, I want to look at, there's three different parts in this chapter, I think. Okay, the first part is that first three verses, and it talks about the importance of love. The importance of love. Love is important because if we do amazing things, but we don't have this agape love that God has shown us, then it's useless. He said, it's like that clanging cymbal. Okay, if we go around and we can speak all these languages, we can prophesy about things that are going to happen, maybe we even give up our body to be burned for a cause, but we don't have love, he says, it's nothing. It's weak. It's just annoying. See, without real love, the rest of everything we do is weak. See, love is the thing that causes it to be great. Love is the thing that, man, I have these languages that I can speak, and I use that for God's glory through loving other people. I'm not just going to let my body be burned for nothing. If it's going to be burned, it's going to be because I refuse to deny who Christ is, and I give my body up to be burned at because someone is, they hate Christians, and that happens so many times. That happens this year, you guys. This year, around the world, people are being killed for their faith in Christ. And this happens not just, well, dying is good. No, that's not what it is. It's that they say, I have the love of God, and I love him back. I return that. John talked in 1 John 4 that we love because Christ has loved us. The second portion there is the description of love, and we got to see these different things. This is quoted so often at marriage wedding ceremonies, and it says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast, it is not arrogant or rude, it does not insist on its own way, it's not irritable or resentful, it does not rejoice at wrongdoings, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things and believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. He gives this great list of attributes for if you want to see if you're loving someone the way that God desires for you to love them, look at this. Are you being kind? Are you being patient? Are you being arrogant? Because that's not what love is. It's not an envious thing. It doesn't keep a record of wrongs that are done against it so it can bring it up later. And a lot of times that kind of stuff happens in dating. And that should be a yellow flag for you to be able to look at and say, whoa, there's a danger here. There's a danger here. Either I'm not showing the kind of love that I'm supposed to that flows from my relationship with God, or this person's not showing the kind of love that flows out of a relationship with God. The final part there is talking about the endurance of love, that all these other things will pass away, but real love continues and it overcomes. It goes through the hard times that are bound to happen. You guys know how all the, I'm a big Disney fan, most of you know that, okay? But here's how most Disney movies go. There's a guy, there's a girl. Life, right? We talked about that. Okay, they go through, they meet each other, something happens, there's a bunch of turmoil and stuff. They end up together and live happily forever.
Hey, after. Like Ariel,
the end.
Okay.
Yikes, okay. So here's the thing. They go through this story, and then at the end of the movie, it just goes, and they live happily ever after. Here's the thing. That's not how life works, okay? Things come up that you don't expect. You had plans for things that you wanted to happen, and some of them get turned down and don't happen, and you never get to do it. But other things, you have opportunities to do it you never expected, and it's awesome, okay? Life throws you different curves and different things, but here's the thing. This true, true love, the agape love, it overcomes the things that life throws at us. It overcomes them. It says, faith, hope, and love remain at the end of all things. And goodness, I mean, those are important things. Faith, man, it's by faith alone, Paul says, that we're saved. That's a big deal. Hope, if we don't have hope in Christ, then what are we even doing all of this? What is this all about? But he says, love, the greatest of these three is love. Because love is who God is. He is this list right here. You could go through and say, man, without God, and take out that word love, and you could put God in there and say, I can do all these things, but without God, it's a clanging cymbal. God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy. He doesn't boast. No, he is worthy of those things, okay? No, he faith, hope, and God remain. God is the greatest of all of those. See, when we display agape love, we point others back to Christ. We point others back to Christ and what he has done. So what do we do with this understanding that we have love that we need to show, love that we need to look for, the right kinds of love? Well, there's a guy, he wrote probably my favorite book that is not called the Bible, right? Okay, because it's like, okay, you got the Bible, obviously. It's like on its own tier. It's set apart. That's what the word holy means, and it's a holy Bible. It's set apart. It's on its own special spot. But after that, my favorite book is this book called Love Does, okay? Cool book. It's got balloons on the cover. It's fun. All right, so it's like, this is a good book, all right? Here's how it works. This guy, his name's Bob Goff. He's a lawyer. He's got a white beard. He's fun. We've talked about him before, I think. Okay, he's got a biplane, a seaplane kind of thing. He made the chapel for his daughter to get married in, all that kind of stuff. We talked about that, and you guys were like, "Aw." So anyway, this guy, he's awesome. All right, we're going to look at a video in a second, but the whole point of his book is that love does things. It isn't just is and exists. It causes movement. It causes us to react. It causes us to do something. And so this kind of love, how do we go out? Okay, I want us to watch this video and see.
Hey, it's Bob Goff here. I'm standing with San Diego behind me. There's millions of people that live here. Really terrific city, probably like yours. And sometimes I wonder, you know, where do I start? I mean, who do you love first? Because there's so many to pick from. It was always a lawyer, a guy like me, who's trying to set up Jesus. Remember, he said, tell me the big commandment. What's the biggest one of all? And he said, love God with all your heart and soul and mind. Oh, love your neighbor like yourself. And so I think Jesus just made it easy. Like, walk out tomorrow, look to your left, look to your right, look ahead of you. There you go. You got three choices. Just pick one. Go love him, and you'll know more about what you do with your faith next.
See, it's pretty simple. We've all got opportunities around us to be able to show love to others, to show others how great God is by saying, hey, this is what God's done in my life, and he wants to do the same thing in you. And so as you think this week about this message and going to school and things that are going on in your life, I want you to think about, what kind of love are you showing to others? What kind of love is it that you can show others? I was talking with Ben earlier about one of his friends that is going through a hard time. And so I asked him, I was like, hey, man, how can you show love to him this week? See, opportunities like that, that's a great opportunity to be able to speak into his life and show him the love of Christ in a tangible way. And we all have those kinds of opportunities. We just have to open our eyes and look for them. So I want to challenge you this week to do that, to go into your school, into your family and your friend groups, and as a follower of Christ, just show them this self-sacrificial love that God has called us to. And when we're looking in a dating relationship and we're wanting to do it wisely, okay, this wisdom will cause us to look for, what is my motivation? Why am I wanting to date? What kind of love am I seeking? Okay, why am I in this? And what is love? Am I showing love truly to this person, or is it some other distortion of it where I'm not being patient, I'm not being kind, I'm being envious, I'm boasting, whatever it is, okay? This is a great passage of Scripture. My grandparents actually sent me and my wife a text and said, hey, we want to challenge you guys to read this chapter every day this month. And I'm like, goodness, that's a lot, okay? Even though February is shortest month, that's a lot of times to read the same chapter, okay? Now, I haven't done it, but I've read it a bunch of times, okay? I have read it a bunch of times. I'm getting pretty close to having it memorized, okay? I want to challenge you, keep reading this chapter. Apply it. Learn what love is and what it says right here. I want you to take your student guide this week, okay? Your student guide has some questions. And I want you to read over those and bring them back on Sunday night to our journey groups to be able to talk about this further and to be able to discuss what is love, okay? What is it that I need to be looking for within a dating relationship and why I would want to do that, all those sorts of things, okay? So this week, as you go out, look for those opportunities to be able to love other people with the love that God has shown us, okay? Let's pray, and then I've got a few things I want to remind you about, and we'll be dismissed. God, we thank you for the love that you've shown us through Jesus, through his sacrifice on the cross. We ask that you would teach us to love others the way that you have loved us, the best that we can, God, that we would want to do it in an extravagant way, that we would look for whoever's around us and remember, hey, this is my neighbor, this is somebody that God loves, and that he loves this person just as much as he's loved me, and I should share that love with them. God, help us to be showing love to others and to look for what kinds of people are growing in their faith, and they're showing this same kind of love, and then to know that that's the kind of person that I'm looking for one day to enter into that special relationship with, God. Help us and grow us, teach us to apply wisdom to the way that we pursue relationships. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want to remind you about the scavenger hunt. Sign up for that. It's very important. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have some cool prizes for winning. It is a competition, okay? You will win more than just dignity. So you will want to win. Some of you, you're like, what is dignity? Okay, we're going to have some cool stuff. You will want to win, but make sure you get signed up. You can do that on our website online, and we'll have the slide going afterwards that has all the information about that. Okay? Sunday night. Everybody say Sunday night.
Sunday night.
Sunday night. What is there?
Scavenger.
Not this week. Okay? Not this week. No, what is it?
Church.
Church, journey groups. Okay? We meet over at the loading dock. There's something new over there, which I'm excited about. So you'll have to be here soon. And we'll do that on Sunday night. All right? If you have questions or you want to talk about something, feel free to come up here. Otherwise, we're going to play some games and hang out for a while. Thanks.